So the chairman was Andy McGlinchey at the time, and George Butler, a Scotchman who was a barber in Bungtranna, he was very interested in all sports. The two of them volunteered, and they were looking for some fellow with a car. And I had a Morris Minor at the time, and that was as good as it got, but and I'm mad into sport, of course, so the three of us headed off in the afternoon for Derry, for St. Eugene's Hall. And we weren't very long there. We met Marcus Flaherty from Bungtranna. Marcus was boxing out of St. Eugene's as well, and so we told him what we're up about, and he opened the doors for us and got us in, and we met officials of the Derry board, and I suppose you could say the rest was history, but we got the thumbs up that there was potential here, that we would explore it in the new year, January of 1967, and we're here still.
You certainly are, and... you know, it took a long time, I suppose, to get to the stage that you're at. But along the way, many things happened. Just reading there that you had to have four clubs to form a county board, and you were the fourth because at that stage there was three on the go already. Wasn't that in Ballyshannon, Donegal Town, and Letterkenny?
That's right. Yeah, they were the three that was functioning in Donegal. There were three good clubs now, make no mistake about it. Each of the three of them in their time produced some quality boxers that could hold the best with anything the country had. But that was the start of a new dawn for boxing in Donegal, the fact that we teamed up with them and we got meetings going and we got going ourselves, and the Derry boys were they seen a lot of potential in us. They were way ahead of us. They were more old-fashioned than we were that time, but we weren't slow learners either, you know. But
well, believe it.
And they seen that between the two, we could feed off one another, as it were, and we could see that there was huge potential in Bungtranna for a show, and there certainly was a show in the plaza. That happened in April of that year. And the place was chock-a-block, and mainly because of one man, I'd say, at the time, and that was John Fair from Fawn. John was an extensive farmer at the time, and John did a bit of wrestling with Andy McClay and Derry, and John was game for anything that was coming. He was 27 years of age at the time, and he had broke his legs, two legs, a year or two before that, but that didn't put John off. But John's display that night was not Queensberry rules, mainly. There was others brought into it as well, and the crowd loved it, and the good boxers didn't get a look in. John got it all, and the any time you had John Fair on, you had a crowd after that.
The referee had a tough time, so...
Well, the referee was he was in bigger danger than the two boys was in the ring, but... There's old people like myself, like the only boxer that really remember about all the good ones we had and all the rest we had is John Fair. Mm-hmm. And still, John is he's had a kick in the backside out of 80 at the moment, and he neither misses boxing, tug of war, stock care, anything that's on, anything there's violence in, John is there. But he's a gentleman. That's only a joke, but John is he loves the rough and tumble stuff. And well, if McGregor was around at his time, I'll tell you, John would sort him.
He would be a millionaire now, obviously. He'd be top of the world.
He certainly would.
All he needed was a PR machine, maybe like yourself there, to egg him on.
Well, maybe the two of us could be rich or in jail, I don't know. But
anyway, you joined up with the Derry boys, and you formed a county board, and they help you immensely, I suppose. There's a lot of training to be done. You need to get officials that could judge and referee and so on.
Well, I'll tell you what now, if you turned up, you could be a judge, a referee and a timekeeper without ever seeing a punch being thrown. That's the way it was that time. The only official, the only officials really we had in the Northwest that time was the Derry boys, and you had guys like Matt Mulhern and fellas like that there, and they were good, and they were efficient, and they knew the rules, so we didn't know anything about rules, weren't interested in rules, really. But those guys shaped us up anyhow, and they did, you know, they took us aside, and they took us under the nurtured us, and the cultured us, and we did realize after a while, well, this is the only way to go, you know, and go that way we went. And then clubs started to come on in Donegal. I think Dunlow would be next or there about at the same time as ourselves. And trips to Dunloe, well, it was like a trip to America that time, going from Bunkrana over. But there was one night we went over to Dunloe, and half of Bunkrana went over because John Fair was to fight a fellow McCall, and he did. And it was the Battle of the Somme would be nothing like it, but the place was chock-a-block. And some of us got home in the morning about 9 o'clock. Between there was a dance in it, and there was other things going on as well. But the trip across the hills was with all sorts of cares. Was something that you could nearly make a film out of, I suppose. But those are the good old days.
And were you and Judy in the next morning determining whether the cars were roadworthy or not?
I was due to start at 9 o'clock, and I didn't get in till 9:30. And you know, it's ironic that the man that I was relieving that morning, Martin Curran, Martin passed away the other day. He's burying tomorrow in Letterkenny. Martin was a member of the boys' club in Bunkrana. Martin was a rock of sense, kept us all right. But, and Martin was a good friend of mine. I suppose he was my mentor to an extent. But Martin was the man, an understanding man, and he understood what was going on. And I could do no wrong with Martin, so I was saved that morning. Mm-hmm. So I no sleep. But
You did what was required.
Oh, I did. I kept the records half right for the day anyhow, and took a nod now and again. But those were some of the great simple things that went on in those times when we were ignorant to reality, I suppose, of a whole lot of bucks and stuff. But, you know, things changed after that, like, and we got on with it, and we became big friends with the boys in Craig and St. Mary's. They had started about a year before that. And funny, the man that started them ended up the parish priest in Bunkrana was Father Joe Carlin. But the first 3 years, like, it was sort of rough and tumble, and we didn't know where we were going, really. But the Derry boys kept us right, and the county board's club started to develop in the county. And we got serious about it, and we discovered that we had a lot of young fellas in. Well, actually, what happened in Bunkrana in 69, the boys club had built a building down in Castle Avenue, and there has been huge developments in that since that. But that was the start of the tournaments at home and bringing on more local fellas. And at one time, we had 28 young fellas in the club in Bunkrana. And I remember putting on a show one time, and we had 16 on, and there was 24 that could have of a panel, and the fellas that weren't on weren't very happy that night. They all wanted to be on at home. The place would be full. We had 300 chairs, and we knew that every chair was taken up on it, and there was around about the walls, there must be about 400 people, and that there was years that we would have had four shows. Most years we had three. And the boxing actually paid a lot of the debt on the club at the time, which was the only good way we had of making quick money. We're sure of good crowds, and we got them.
So, but I suppose there were less attractions at that stage back in the 60s. It was a great opportunity as an outlet for boys.
No, it was, yeah. Like, the only thing we had in Bunkrana that time, we had boxing and indoor football. Indoor football was serious stuff, and the basketball came on then. We had all those things going on in the club. It was, you know, an awful lot of fellas that came up in that time there had a great time, because that's what they were into, and every night of the week it was going flat out, things were totally different that time, you know. Like, it has changed completely since that, and there's so many distractions now, and so many massive sporting opportunities as well that wasn't in the county or any other place at that time, and like Donegal on its own, you know, has to be said, must be one of the strongest counties in Ireland for a variety of sporting activities. But the boxing was big that time, and we you know, things developed along the way, like that. We got the county board developed, ourselves and Derry came together, and Ulster, like, was closed shop. Belfast, you hadn't a hope when you passed Glengormley. You were wondering, would you get out of it, because Belfast was the hub of boxing in Ulster. In actual fact, Belfast was probably the strongest city in Ireland. Even stronger than Dublin at that time. It was producing an awful lot of very, very good boxers. You would have five and six of the Irish team that went out that time. There wouldn't be that many internationals, but it would be Belfast lads that would be on it. Mm-hmm. So we had to break into that scene to make anything of it, to get our lads there, you know, and it took us a good while to get in there, but we got in, and you had no hope of getting on the Ulster Council that time. And had meetings at 5 o'clock in the evening, and Jackie Henderson came on in the early days. He was secretary of the Donegal County Board as well. Gerry Daly was chairman of the county board, and Gerry was did a power of work, good chairman, good official. Gerry qualified himself as a judge referee, and a lot of us followed with him. But Jackie would take a half day off work that time and drive to Belfast for a meeting at 5 o'clock, and he wouldn't be home till about 12 at night, religiously. And Jackie held his own in his own inimitable way, and we eventually, well, I suppose our success and the fact that we were there and coming back was major in you know, breaking down the barriers that was there and getting a few friends behind us. And there was one man in particular, a fellow called Johnny Black. Johnny was from the markets area of Belfast. Johnny was vice president of the Ulster Council for years and years, and Johnny passed away. I replaced him as vice chairman of it, but Johnny was well disposed towards the country lads, and he would be at the door going in, and he would look after you, and he would, you know, keep you right on any problems you had. Johnny soon stepped up to the mark and he looked after us. But, you know, we became strong in there, and Donegal was we had the, I think at one stage we had about 18 clubs in the country. We were the second biggest to Antrim in Ulster. So we had the votes and we had the men there. We had men on the council, and I was vice president of it. But, yeah, we came a long way. We did a lot of work, and we made our mark there in those years. And they're still doing it under Peter O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. They're hammering away at it, but... they were great years.